This time, let's do something special. Let's meditate on the Word of God. We'll stand and read it together from 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's printed for you in your bulletin for your convenience. So we continue to go through the book of Samuel. Open your hearts and minds for God to speak to you today. 1 Samuel 1:21. I have a reading from the English Standard Version. The Word of the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah, that's his wife, did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. The child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, that's the priest. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord years earlier. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent or given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The Word of God, may he help us understand it and place it into our lives. Please be seated. Certain things happen to us in our lives, and they create a memory, a story. And certain stories we revisit from time to time. Enter the sixth grade and a spelling bee competition. Enter the one standing before you. It's a girls' competition, a boys' competition. Ernestine Cole was the last one standing for the gals. And as some of us struggled to get through that competition, I remember certain words. I don't know if it was in that competition or another, but it was in a competition, and it was the word spigot. And it does not have a CK in it. But if you happen to spell S-P-I-G-O-T, you may be the last one standing. And it's the beginning of a memory. And the other part of the memory is, if it had been in this generation, I probably would have said something to my sixth grade teacher about what he had promised. But, you know, I was 11 years old. It was a different generation. So I just kept silent and kept waiting for that model airplane. And I like to joke even now, decades later, that every now and then I go out and check the mail for packages. But Mr. Pinto has long left this world. Children are watching us, 11-year-old kids, 5-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids. They're watching, and they're listening. What are we saying to them, and what are they expecting? So I stand here today empty-handed. I have no model airplane to show you or give you. I only have Jesus Christ, who keeps all of His promises for us. When He says, "Whoever comes to Me, I will never turn you aside," He will not let you down. Come to Him. When He says, "Cast on your all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you," He will and is keeping His promise. When He tells us, "Come unto Me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest," if you come, He will give you rest. And one of the most profound verses in all the Scriptures, 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, to the glory of God." Oh, we all have much to learn about giving our word and following through. The world has a lot to learn. And it's not just people who make campaign promises. We could all do so much better. But it's a challenge, isn't it, though? What keeps us from following through on what we say? When we put an expectation into an 11-year-old kid's mind, what keeps us from following through? Maybe it's a short memory. Maybe that's why I never got that model airplane. Or maybe it just isn't that important to us, so we don't write it down or make a note of it. We just said it and, okay. Maybe it's because we don't want to disappoint people, and maybe we spoke too quickly and we said, "Yes, oh, I can do that," because we didn't want to disappoint somebody. Maybe the world around us has lowered the standard. And so, in me, perhaps my standard has been diminished, erosion. You know how that works? Until suddenly you find, look around, looks like a whole mountain has just disappeared. That it doesn't even mean anything anymore when we say something because of the influences around us, the people that we hang with or we see in the high-profile positions. Maybe we really don't value the important biblical practices that were so highly honored in the book, but it's also recorded when they weren't honored. The Bible doesn't hold back anything. It just says it all. If a man ran around without any clothes on, he just wrote it down and showed his embarrassment to the world. Or if somebody was faithful in a little thing and no one even noticed, the Bible displayed it for everybody to see. There she is, quietly, faithfully working away. No one even noticed, but God did. Maybe we take advantage of people's kindness and forgiveness. That, oh, they'll love on me anyway. I don't really need to worry about following up on that phone call or that thing I said to her because I know she'll accept me. You know, the old saying is you always hurt the ones you love. It's, you know, they'll take you back. I tell you, it's not a good place to be hurting the ones you love. Or maybe it's because the situation's now changed. That's perhaps why it's difficult to follow up on what we've promised or said. Maybe because a few years have passed and the situation has changed. Well, that's exactly what we find in Hannah's situation. The situation had changed. Years had passed since Hannah had made her promise. And the situation was no longer desperate. She was no longer hurting as before when she made that promise. And she remembered what she had spoken years earlier. Verse 27 in our text, "This child," says Hannah, "that I prayed for, and the Lord has granted me my petition. that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him, I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent or given to the Lord. And he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. She took her child that day, and she took him to the place of worship, and there she left him. And there he worshiped and served as priest and prophet and Israel's last judge. See, the question comes, if years we give our word and years pass and things have changed, and now maybe we don't feel the urgency to follow up on what we've promised. The question is, will we keep our word anyway? Will we keep our promise? Will I not just say what I mean, but mean what I say? This must have been a heart-rending decision for Hannah. You think about it. Robin Mark, who we had singing here in concert, he says that she had been praying 20 years. I didn't really do a study on that, but I take him at his word. We know she'd been praying for years. You're praying, you're childless, you're wanting a child. Not everybody wants a child. Not everybody's blessed with a child. Or not everyone has to get married. Or, you know, some people enjoy different things. But she was not enjoying being married and being childless. And especially if she was being made fun of year after year. And so she'd been praying, wanting things to change. And one day she just got desperate and said, Lord, I'm so broken, I can't take it anymore. Please answer my prayer. And so she gave birth to a son, her only son at the time. She fed him, no doubt. She rocked him. She changed him. She clothed him. Apparently praying for him, encouraging him, and teaching him, as we talked about here in today's baptism, teaching him to follow God. And now it's time to let him go. And now it's time to follow up on her promise. You know, many a mother's heart's been broken when they have to marry off her firstborn. Some of you parents, must say, are glad to get them out of the house. Well, no doubt, if they're 20 or 30 years old, be gone. Get a job. Do something. Contribute to society. Pay rent if you're going to be here. Do something. But we are talking about a little young child. Verse 24, the child Samuel was young. There's some discussion on, do we take this as literally he was just weaned? I mean, I doubt that he took a six-month-old baby and dropped him off and said, here, Eli, the priest, you take care of him. You know, you could wean him for a few years, or maybe wean in a more broad sense, that she had weaned him from her care, and now she had weaned him from her emotions as much as she possibly could, said, now I can't go on any longer. If I'd have been her, I would have kept that child to the very last minute and said, I've got to give him up. You know, he's 40 years old. No. And then there's another story that I revisit from time to time. Some of you know I've shared it with you. It's a friend whose wife, I've known like two or three girls over the years personally who could have been models. Most of the ladies and guys think they could be models. But I mean, these really could have been models. She could have been a model. And her face was just beautiful. And she was a nice girl. Until things happen. You're driving down the road, you know. And next thing you know, you're in the hospital because somebody slammed into you in your car. And we didn't know whether she was going to live or not. And her spouse, her husband, he prayed a prayer. I suspect he was a lot desperate like Hannah was. Only this wasn't just having a child, this was a life and death situation. And so he was moved to pray, "Lord, you know, save my wife." Her bones were broken. Lung was punctured. Her eye was hanging out. Her face was literally ripped off. I say that only because it's real, not to paint some grotesque picture, but to show that it was a desperate situation. And he prayed, "Lord, if you just get my life, get my wife through this, I will go to church. And I will serve you." Well, you know, if you saw her today, you think she could probably be a model. She's back. She's back around. She's working. And sadly, to date, her husband can neither be found next to a church or next to her. Just gone. I don't say that to be cruel to anybody. But I say it because the situation had changed. As Hannah's, it had gone from bad to good. It had gone from terrible to terrific. It had gone from a point of desperation to joy. And in her joy, Hannah had not forgotten what she had said to God. Keeping her word must have been difficult to leave her little child go. It was about 12 miles, by the way, Shiloh, the scholars say, where she would have taken him. It's about a day. It wasn't like you could drive. It was a day. It would take you a day to get there and a day back as he was serving. But it's the idea he's gone out of the house. And they visited once a year, as we can see from reading their practice, going up to worship there. But keeping your word is difficult, but I also must say that we would be well reminded that keeping our word matters. It matters, even if things have changed and a long time has passed, and regardless of what the world around us is doing, it matters. It matters in practical ways. It matters when you say something and don't follow through. It matters in trust. Many of your relationships are defined and are what they are because of what we've said and what we've done. That's why some people it's easier to get up close to you because you know it's safe, right? And you know when you get up close, it's the real deal. You're going to get what they said. And if you don't get what you said, they said, you know, they make it right. They apologize. They put things back. So something broken, they try to fix it. They understand that they let you down. And you communicate in a way that where we're real before God. And not just in what we say, but in real and, you know, there's two parts to life. It's what we say and what we are, what we do. And those two must come together. Because it matters. I mean, it matters with credibility, it matters with integrity, reputation, credit scores, and on down the line. But I believe the most practical reason of all is it matters to God. We don't even need to mention it's in the Ten Commandments, "You shall not bear false testimony." When they took oaths in the Old Testament, they took them in God's name. God says, if you're going to take an oath, take it in my name. I'm the God of truth. And people know you stand for the truth. And as Christians, obviously, we bear the name of Christ. We bear His name. That's why I'm afraid I say to put bumper stickers on the back of my car. Because if I'm driving down the road 80 miles an hour in a 50 zone or something, I don't want Christ's name on my bumper. Probably should put it on there. It might keep me more honest. Psalm 66:13 and following. "I will come to your temple with burnt offerings, fulfill my vows to you, my lips, what they promise, my mouth, what they spoke when I was in trouble." I have come to the temple to fulfill my vows. Psalm 15:4, we read it earlier, keep your promise even when it hurts. Lastly, it matters keeping our word, trying to get better at it. We'll never get it perfect, but it matters to in establishing God's word. I want you to notice, it almost slips through the text here if you don't read it carefully, verse 23. It matters in establishing God's word, God's will, God's ways. Verse 23, Hannah's husband says, as she says, I'm not ready to go up to the temple or to the tabernacle yet. I'm not ready to release my child yet. You know, I'll come up later after he's... He says, only may the Lord establish his word. See that little phrase in there, that little sentence? Only may the Lord establish his word. Author David Gusek explains it this way. Elkanah is saying to his wife Hannah, do everything in obedience to God, to what God said, so we may see his word established among us. Do whatever God has said in obedience to him so that we may see God's word established among us. Hannah's husband had one wish here in this text. He had one desire. That the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who had given his child a baby, the God who sustained him in life, that he establish his word in Hannah's life, his wife's life, in his life, that in the life of his family. Isn't that what it's all about? The God who created us, tells us right from wrong, tells us how to find forgiveness, who tells us what's good for us, who tells us so many things, isn't all about getting what God wants for us established in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Why are we doing church if it isn't about that? You know, when you're in the sixth grade, the spelling bee, you realize that what people say to you matters, adults. And we form memories, experiences in kids' lives that 10 years later or 20 years later, they will still hold on to. And sometimes it keeps them away from God, if those are bad memories. And the good ones, I believe, can draw us nearer to God. And we won't be perfect, but what it's all, I think what this is about us trying to keep our word so that God might establish his words in us and in the world around us to help show that the world that God can be trusted. Isn't that what it's about? That God himself in Jesus Christ can be trusted. If God says, come to me, in Jesus Christ, and I will never turn you aside. If he says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. How do people know if that's real? They can't see God, but they can see you. And they can see me. And hopefully they can see Jesus Christ in us. For in him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much. And there's so much we need to learn about keeping our word when we give it. Help us to be better at that. Help us not to give our word too quickly or to overpromise. And Lord, when we break our word, we find ourselves guilty. Teach us to apologize and, if possible, to restore what was broken. But even more so, help us get better at keeping our word. That others can see that Christ and his word can be trusted, which leads us to forgiveness and to eternal life. For you tell us, Lord, that all your promises are yes. And amen in Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.